gospel of Jesus Christ is something that angels would long to look at.
He seems to care not only that I live, but how I live.
You're going to have to pick and choose. Go with God's word or go with what the world is saying. You need to come down into the Word of God and try and test everything according to the Word of God, which is the plumb line, which helps us to know, is it true or is it false? Preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit.
I've got a God who really is intricately involved in the affairs of man.
Force every sinew muscle within you to give it all it's got and go all the way to the finish line. It's a labor, and it's a labor of love. The love expresses itself in toil, in sweat, and blood, and tears, and going all the way. And he says, as I remember,
every word is given of God, and therefore it is the end, it is perfect, it is the full inspiration of God. It is the only source of authority that you and I have.
You're listening to Word for the World with Dr. Randy White. The Holy Spirit is the subject of our current series, which we're calling Spirit Works. Dr. White has a few thoughts to share as we begin this broadcast.
Well, we're talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit as we begin this week, and we're continuing this series called Spirit Works. Now, I'm going to repeat just a little bit of what I said on Friday as we begin the sermon, because we're talking about four aspects of the work of the Holy Spirit in our life that is related to the baptism and the filling of the Holy Spirit. So let's get right back into the sermon from the book of Ephesians that speaks about being baptized and being filled with the Holy Spirit. What is the baptism and the filling of the Holy Spirit? Thank you for joining us today on Word for the World with Dr. Randy White. I want to show you a couple of scriptures here. And first is John chapter 14, verse 20. Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he says, "In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you." Now, I want you to put that in your back of your mind for a moment, because we're going to come back to it in a minute. But focus on that phrase, if you would, for just a moment. I in you. How can Christ become in us? It happens through regeneration. Jesus said to Nicodemus, what? You must be what? Born again. You need to be regenerated. Nicodemus, you need Christ in you. How can Christ come within us? He comes within us through the Holy Spirit. Titus chapter 3, verse 5 says this. He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. Now there, regeneration and renewing are used in the same manner. It's just a means of reiterating what Paul is saying. The washing of regeneration, that flushing out of the old life and the flooding in of the new life, the renewal of the Holy Spirit. The scripture talks about how a well of living water will gush up within us. And we will have the regeneration and the renewing by what? By the Holy Spirit. That's right. By the Holy Spirit. Now, some have taken regeneration and placed it in different places in the spiritual experience. And there are some, I don't want to spend too much time here, but there are some who believe in what we would call baptismal regeneration. Here in this scripture, you see the washing of regeneration. And so some taking that passage, that phrase, the washing of regeneration, and some other phases scriptures that they would put together, and they would say that when you are baptized, that the old is washed away and a new comes in. Now, most anyone who believes in infant baptism would believe in a baptismal regeneration. That's why there would be such an importance, if you believe in infant baptism, there's such an importance to, as soon as possible, to have that infant baptized, because in baptismal regeneration, there's the idea that the original sin is washed away. Later on, they will come to a time of their own commitment and a time of their own confession, at which time their own personal sins will be washed away. But they'd say at that baptism, the original sin, for an infant baptism, the original sin is washed away. Next week I'm gonna preach on why I'm not a charismatic. And I hope you'll come. And I wanna tell you some things that might be interesting to you. But this phase of the sermon, I might title, Why I'm Not a Presbyterian. Because there is that idea among Presbyterians and others that you are washed, your original sin is washed away at baptism. In fact, I have to tell you, one of my favorite theologians is R.C. Sproul. I love to hear what he has to say and read what he has to say, and I disagree with some of what he has to say. And one has to do with baptismal regeneration, his belief in infant baptism. And in fact, he says, if babies are innocent, they don't need to be baptized. Now, what he's saying is, if babies are innocent, they don't need to be baptized. He does not believe they are innocent, and so he believes they need to be what? Baptized. Why would they need to be baptized? Because that baptism will wash away that original sin. Look at another scripture, Galatians chapter 3, verse 2. It says, this is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Now, Paul is saying, look, there are a couple ways to come into righteousness. One is you live according to the works of the law of righteousness and you fulfill the whole thing. The other is by the hearing with faith. And so I believe that you are regenerated by the Holy Spirit of God. It does not happen with your baptism. Prayerfully, it happens before your baptism. It happens at that point in which you confess Jesus Christ as your sole source of salvation. You come to him and say, Lord, here I am, worthless, dying, and damned without you. And I come and I give my life unto you. And at that point, you are regenerated by the Holy Spirit. At that point, he places Christ within you. Now, I know there are some who would say, now, wait a minute. You're saying that it is when we place our faith in him that we are saved. And they'd say, now, Pastor, isn't that a little bit of works? Isn't that works? No, it's not at all. It's faith. And the scripture, all through the scripture, says there's a great difference between faith and works. And yet there are some in this manner who want to come along and say, well, this faith over here is really works. No, it's not works. It's faith. And when we come in faith, it is that faith that saves us. It is that faith that goes to work then, and through the grace and the Holy Spirit of God, we are saved. So regeneration is when he places Christ within us.
Was Benjamin Franklin a man of Christian faith or just a man of Christian virtue? He is one of the most well-known American figures worldwide. He is looked to as the elder statesman of the founding fathers, a man of moral virtue, biblical knowledge, and tremendous wit. But was Benjamin Franklin a born-again Christian? Order The Faith of Benjamin Franklin by Dr. Randy White, an easy-to-read 50-page booklet about one of our most famous founding fathers. The booklet is only $7.95 and is available at www.randywhiteministries.org or by calling us toll-free at 1-855-437-9448.
How many of you have been regenerated? I'm just wondering. I thought we had a whole bunch through here. Christ has been placed in you. Praise God. Hallelujah. If you're not sure about that, I would encourage you to begin studying faith today and come to Christ in faith. There's a second thing then that happens, and that's the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the regeneration of the Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is when he places us in Christ. He places us in Christ. When does the baptism of the Holy Spirit take place? At the same time as the regeneration of the Holy Spirit. And so there are many who would put regeneration and baptism right together as one unit, as one work. I'd be okay with that, but I want to separate them a little bit. At the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he places us in Christ. Galatians chapter 3, verse 27 says this, "For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ." What is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? The baptism of the Holy Spirit is when the Holy Spirit comes and takes us and, spiritually speaking, he places us within Christ. He baptizes us into Christ. Now, one of the reasons among many that we baptize the way we do for believers who have professed their faith, and then we do it by immersion because it is completely being covered or consumed, clothed with that water. And as you are baptized in Christ, I remember the first baptism I ever did. It was a boy named Kevin. He was about 14, 15 years old. And I came into that baptistry, and they teach a lot of things in seminary, but how to baptize is not one of them, oddly enough. And so I came into that baptism, and I was wearing waders in that day and down in the water. And first of all, they don't tell you that it feels like an anaconda has wrapped around your leg. So I didn't know what was happening there in the first place. Secondly, we were out in a little farming town, and you know how in farming towns the people there are just real scrupulous. I'm looking for the word. They don't want to waste anything. And so the guy filling the water thought, we don't need too much water here because there's only one baptism and then we're going to drain it. And what a waste that would be. And so he put it real low. And I almost had to baptize myself. Getting down there, and I remember going down and down and down, and I couldn't get Kevin's head all the way under. And I have worried about Kevin to this day. He's got a little spot right there that wasn't baptized. Fortunately, it's all symbolic there, but the idea when we're baptized by the Holy Spirit is we are completely immersed into Christ. And that means in Christ, when we are baptized by the Spirit, we receive all the possessions and all of the position of being in Christ and a believer in Christ. Now, the greatest thing that we receive here is what we call imputed righteousness. Imputed righteousness. Now, here's what this means. Imputed is an accounting word. And it is a word that means to take from one account and impute it onto another. Transfer it over to another. Righteousness, of course, is perfection. It's sanctification. It's cleansing. And so he takes the righteousness of Christ and he takes it from his account and he puts it on our account. That is imputed righteousness. And it is, by the way, in that imputed righteousness that you are saved. Because I come before the Lord, you come before the Lord, and we could begin to look, and the devil certainly does as the accuser of the brethren, and say, now let me list all of the sins that Randy White has committed. It'd take a long time just to get over the ones this past week, right? And we begin to list them, and sometimes we think, man, I did this, and I done that, and that, and the other, and the devil begins to do that accusing as well. But we can glory and praise in our baptism of the Holy Spirit because in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we were put in Christ. And here's what it means. When we stand before God the judge, who does he see? He sees Jesus Christ because we are within Jesus Christ. We are baptized in the Holy Spirit, and that is the process of taking us and putting us in Christ. So do you remember the scripture that we looked at just a moment ago in John chapter 14, verse 20, where he says, I in you and you in me. You in me, that's regeneration. I in you, that's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes to anyone who is a believer and it clothes us with Christ or baptizes us with Christ. It places us within Christ. And so there's a lot of incorrect teaching about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We'll look at that in just a moment. There's a mix-up between the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the filling or the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And here I want us to see that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is experienced by every believer. Everyone who's been regenerated, everyone who's been born again has been baptized of the Holy Spirit. So next time someone comes up to you and says, hey, I want to know, have you been baptized by the Holy Spirit? If you are a believer, your answer should be what? Yes, I've been baptized by the Holy Spirit. And praise God, I've been baptized by the Holy Spirit. In that, I was placed in Christ and received all the joys of being a holy nation, a royal priesthood set apart for His purpose, all the position and the possessions of being a joint heir with the Lord. I received those in the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Our broadcast will continue in just a moment. I'm sure you know that these broadcasts are expensive to produce and distribute on the radio and internet. It is faithful friends like you who help make this ministry possible. We have a group of supporters in our Club 8 program who donate a simple $8 each month for the support of this ministry. While $8 does not seem like a lot of money, these supporters really are the basis of this ministry. Would you consider joining the ranks of those who give this $8 gift? When you join Club 8, you will receive Dr. White's book, The Antichrist, absolutely free. To join, click the Club 8 tab on our website, www.randywhiteministries.org, or call us toll-free at 1-855-437-9448. Once again, that's 1-855-437-9448. Dr. White is grateful that you are willing to help keep this broadcast ministry of conservative, convictional Bible teaching on the air. Randy White Ministries has a free DVD with 90 minutes of Dr. White's teaching on the very interesting and relevant subject of the Antichrist. To receive this free offer, give us a call today. The toll-free number is 1-855-437-9448. When you request the DVD, we will also put you on our mailing list so that you can receive regular articles, devotional material, and even sermon CDs that Dr. White sends out free of charge several times each year. Once again, call us toll-free at 1-855-437-9448. That's 1-855-4-DR-WHITE. Now, let's get back to our broadcast.
There's a third thing that happens, a third spirit work, and that is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit is when the Holy Spirit grants us the continual presence of Christ. John chapter 7, verse 39 says this, this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For the Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Now, that's a complicated little scripture here. But notice he's speaking to his disciples and he's speaking to them about the Spirit. And he's saying that those who believe in him are going to what? Receive him. But they have not received him yet because the Spirit was not given because Jesus was not yet glorified. And Jesus is saying, hey, you're going to get something someday. You haven't got it yet because I've not been glorified. I've not gone away. The day of Pentecost hasn't come. But you will receive in a day to come. John chapter 14, verse 6 then, Jesus says this to his disciples. I will ask of the Father, and he will give you another helper. Notice it's a capital H. The word there is paraclete, one who comes alongside to help. And it's the term for the Holy Spirit. He will give you the Holy Spirit, that he, the Holy Spirit, may be with you how long? Forever. This is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, that he is with us. How long? Forever. If you have been regenerated by the Spirit of God and you've been baptized by the Holy Spirit of God, then you are being indwelt by the Spirit of God, which means that you have the presence of God. How long? Forever. That's exactly right. The indwelling is the continual presence of Christ granted unto us. Let's talk about how things have changed in the dispensations along the ages. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come upon individuals. Some of them were good, some of them were bad, but the Holy Spirit would come upon them for a momentary time, and then the Holy Spirit would leave them. In the Old Testament, where did God dwell? He dwelt in the tabernacle of the temple, didn't he? There in the Holy of Holies was the presence of God. And if you wanted to experience the presence of God, where did you go? You went to the temple. You went to the Holy of Holies and you took your sacrifice there. That was in the Old Testament. In the days of the Gospels, the presence of God was experienced in the person of Christ. Christ, who is the exact image of God, the exact representation of God. And so in the Old Testament, God revealed himself in the temple. In the Gospels, God revealed himself through Jesus Christ. Now, in these days since Pentecost, where does God dwell? Right here in the new temple, in the temple which is our own lives and our own hearts. In the Old Testament, you went to the temple. In the Gospels, you went to the Lord Jesus Christ to experience the presence of God. And now we have him right here with us. How many of you would rather have to travel to Jerusalem every time you wanted to experience the presence of God? No, we don't want that. I think you should travel to Jerusalem, but not to experience the presence of God, because he's with you here, now, yesterday, today, and what? Forever. He is indwelling you. Let me tell you, it gets better. In the Old Testament, the presence of God was at the temple. In the Gospels, the presence of God was through Jesus Christ. In these days of grace, the presence of God is indwelling within us through the Holy Spirit of God. But let me tell you about a day to come that Revelation chapter 21, verse 3 speaks about. It says, I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And look at this, and God himself will be among them. That's a day to say amen for. That's right. That's called heaven. When we're right there in the presence of God. Don't have to go to the temple. Don't have to go to Jesus. Now, sometimes we say, I just wish we were in the days when Jesus was still here. And that's all well and good unless you happen to be out on in the middle of the Sea of Galilee and a big storm comes up and Jesus isn't with you. All of a sudden you begin to worry and you begin to fret, don't you? Until here he comes, the man who stilled the water. He's walking on that water, and then Jesus is with you, and all is calm again. And so that's why Jesus says, hey, it's better for me to leave, because if I leave, I'll send you another helper, and he will be with you forever, forever. And then that day will come when the literal presence of God will be right in your midst. So right here in this age that we're in, we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the continual presence of Christ. I am glad to know that wherever I go, wherever my saved children go, wherever my wife goes, there they have the presence and the power of the living and resurrected Savior. And you've got them through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit.
Wow, what a blessing that is, isn't it? To have the presence and the power of the living God, the resurrection power, living with you by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It's a benefit that even the apostles didn't have. You remember when they were in the boat waiting for Jesus to arrive in the middle of that storm? Friend, if you're a believer, you don't have to wait for him to arrive. He is there. You have the Holy Spirit. Not part of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is not a thing. The Holy Spirit is a person. You have the person of the Holy Spirit. I hope you'll call us today. You can get our free DVD on the Antichrist. Would love to send it to you today and put you on the mailing list. The number is 1-855-437-9448. And you can also get that on our website, randywhiteministries.org. Just go to the resources section and then to the DVD tab under that and order this free DVD, or call us 1-855-437-9448. We'll continue this topic of the baptism and the filling of the Holy Spirit when we join again tomorrow on Word for the World.
Dr. White would like to invite you to travel with him to Israel. His next trip is scheduled for late January 2013. You will enjoy 11 exciting days walking where Jesus walked in the ancient land of modern miracles. Each stop of the journey, you will be fascinated as the Bible comes to life in 3D reality right before your eyes. You will gain more Bible knowledge in these few days than you could ever imagine. Information is available at www.randywhiteministries.org or by calling us at 1-855-437-9448. That's 1-855-437-9448. Or simply email Dr. White at randy@randywhiteministries.org. we hope you've been blessed from today's edition of Word for the World with Dr. Randy White. Please contact us today toll-free at 1-855-437-9448. Our website is www.randywhiteministries.org, where you can sign up for Dr. White's daily devotional or weekly doctrinal email. If you would like to write us, our address is 600 Pin Oak Road, Katy, Texas, 77494. Until tomorrow, thank you for joining us on Word for the World.
God has not abandoned Israel unless the sun didn't come up this morning. God is fulfilling the promise just like he said he would, the prophecy. He said, you'll be scattered for many days, but then I'm going to call you back home. If it's a nation created by God, then Israel is a nation protected by God. All these covenants, all these promises, all the Old Testament, all the New Testament, all came to us from the Jews. I think in our daily prayer life, we ought to be praying for the peace of Jerusalem.
And a new week to you, friendofzion.com. I'm Dr. Randy White. And in Zechariah, as we saw last week, the Lord came and said that the day would come in which Jerusalem and Israel would dwell in cities without walls because of the multitude of men. That has been fulfilled. And then he said, after that, I will become glory in her midst. That is the arrival of the Messiah yet to come. And then he said, after glory, that is, after I become glory in her midst, I will be set against the nations. Friend, the judgment of the nations is coming one day soon. Oh, I believe that there will be a rapture of the church. I believe that there will be the day of Jacob's trouble, the day of the tribulation, that seven-year period, and then glory will come. God himself, through Jesus Christ, will be glory in her midst. But after glory, there is a judgment. It is a judgment of the nations. In fact, the Lord says in Zechariah chapter 2, verse 9, behold, I will wave my hand over them so that they will be plunder for their slaves. And then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me. You see, this is obviously talking about the Messiah. And why else would he say, then you'll know that I've been sent by the Lord of hosts? How will they know? Because he plunders the nations. In chapter 2, verse 10 of Zechariah, then there is the glad result for Israel when it says, sing for joy and be glad, O daughter of Zion. For behold, I am coming, and I will dwell in your midst. Friend, I think what you and I need to do is get in on the side of Israel. That's why we're a friend of Zion. I hope you'll join us at our website, friendofzion.com. Join our mailing list. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/friendofzion. Become a friend of Zion along with us. Heavenly Father, as we pray for the peace of Jerusalem today, we know that the day is coming when that peace shall be established, when you, your son, will be glory in her midst. And so we just rejoice in advance at the coming peace of Jerusalem, that someday our prayers for the peace of Jerusalem will be answered. Dear Father, because there's going to be a judgment of the nations, of all the peoples of the earth, we line up with your people, the ones whom you have said are the apple of your eye. And we do this in Jesus' name. Amen. Friend, I want you to know that there are so many, shamefully even in the church, that don't believe that we should line up with Israel. They say Israel's day is done and gone. Friend, God has not left his promises. He will be true. friendofzion.com